So this morning, and as well as this weekend, we've had the Mannas with us. Mike and Judy are our missionaries. They do have local ties. He did teach at Sunshine for a while, and Judy is a graduate of SBA, along with being Cheryl McLean's sister. So I'm not sure which one's more important, but it is that connection. But we've been blessed over the years following their ministry in Ukraine, where they taught, and then as they transitioned back to the States and transitioned finally to Youth for Christ International, and then going back all over the world. We are grateful that they were able to pigeonhole us in between a missions conference as well as the STEER conference. And so that is an advertisement for Sunday school. They will be teaching Sunday school, and the class that they are going to be doing at STEER, they're actually going to walk us through. So if you were planning to go to STEER conference, which is in Bismarck? Is in Bismarck? Yeah, if you wanted to go to Bismarck, but now that was the only reason, you could stay. But you could still go to STEER conference. It is a wonderful ministry of the opportunity of funding missionaries. But for us today, to hear from Mike and Judy during our morning service. So Mike, if you would come. I'll hand the torch to you.
Thank you. It's so good to be back and to be sharing a little bit today. And we just want to say thank you. We really appreciate you being sending us. We're a team together, and I get to do a little report again today of what God is doing a little bit around the world and what we're learning ourselves personally, and also to look at God's Word together this morning too. So, but before we go into God's Word today, and I get a little more deeper into this, I think I've created a little 6-minute video, okay? And this will be just a way to show a little pictures quickly of what we've been doing lately and a recent trip that we took to Ukraine in June. And so I'll show that video and then come back up here and share a little from God's Word, okay? So let's see if everything works.
Hi, my name is Mike Manna, and Judy and I just want to say thank you so much for sending us out to share the love of Christ to the world. Now, 2023 has been better for us in the fact that we haven't had to just fully rely on working from the computer desk this last year. We've actually been able to travel to different areas of the world, and I'd like to just share with you in this short little video a report of some of the places that we were able to touch. Yes, thankfully, we were finally able to return back to Ukraine even in the midst of war. So now I'll share with you a little bit more through video of what that looked like.
We were unable to fly directly into Ukraine, so we flew into Poland and then took 2 trains, including an overnight train, into Kiev. Our goal of coming to Ukraine this year was to encourage and support those that were serving in the church. The war was obviously going on, the signs were around us everywhere, but we weren't specifically near the war front. We weren't near these soldiers that are protecting their country, that are defending their homes in the south and the east of Ukraine. We arrived in Kiev and went to the central train station and were immediately picked up by some of our former youth ministry students, and they took us to a conference that wasn't far outside of Kiev. There they asked me to speak in part of their seminars. And it was just a joy to see them doing ministry together still in a church that's alive and well. Listen to some of the worship. Following the youth conference, we were taken back to our Airbnb in Kiev, and we got to experience just a very small amount of what the Kievites and all the other Ukrainians have been experiencing through this whole war, and that is air sirens. That was due to, of course, Russia sending missiles and drone attacks against Kiev and other cities. So we went into our corridor, right in the center of our apartment, away from the windows, and waited it out during the middle of the night until we could get the all clear. While we were in Kiev, we would meet with whoever we could to encourage them, bring some support along. One time we got together for a full day with these lovely ladies. Each of them are Youth for Christ staff members, and they're overseeing multiple centers of day centers that are basically after school programs, helping teens and children understand who Jesus is and serve them. While we were with them, we walked along this pathway in the center. Each flag represents a soldier that has given his life in defense of his country. Following our time in Kiev, we went to other cities in Ukraine to encourage and support, including Katya's family. Oh, what a joy it was to go see them up in Chernihiv in northern Ukraine near the Belarusian border. Here, Judy is showing some videos and photos of Katya and Jet. We got to spend time with Katya's nieces here. And then we went around the city to see the damage from the war. It was horrible to see the hotel that we had stayed in that had been destroyed by a 500-kilogram bomb that had been dropped by the Russian soldiers. But a special time was to take Katya's family to church and to be in the church that helped get them out of the city of Chernihiv. And when we were there, I had a chance to be able to speak along with my dear friend, Chaplain Tolik. And when we were there, I made a very big point to say thank you to this church because they had helped get our family, Katya's family, out of the city during the worst parts of the war. We then exited through Poland back on the train and through the Polish border and got on a plane. Our trip wasn't done. We had plans to go on to the country of Georgia. So we took a plane there, no, not this boat, to this beautiful mountainous country in the Caucasus. We quickly fell in love with this country, with their food and with the people. Yes, we enjoyed the Georgian soup, vegetables, and bread very much. But we brought the Youth for Christ staff of Georgia and Armenia together in a hotel, and we had a real special spiritual formation retreat. It was a time to be alone with God. So we did lead some sessions and group sessions and spent some time in God's Word together, but really the focus was that each one of us was to go aside and spend time alone with God. Here is a picture of some of the staff members doing just that. And Judy and I really got to know the national directors of these two countries and their ministries, and we look forward to doing future ministry with them as well. Our plans are to go back to Armenia to lead an English camp. Listen to our worship together. I hope that through some of the photos and videos, and even a little bit of the music, you're able to catch a little glimpse of the blessings that we get to be part of. You have blessed us so that we can bless others. Thank you so much for praying for us and sending us. We love you all.
So thanks for watching that with us this morning. I hope that just gave you a quick, just little picture of some of the things that we get to be involved with in our ministry with just this trip that was just this last June and July. So thank you for sending us so that we can be a blessing to other people. As I've thought about what scripture I could share with you today, I'd like to share with you actually a sermon that I prepared for that trip. When we went to Ukraine and we had the churches to go speak at and to encourage, especially those disciples that we had made over the years, I really was asking God, Lord, what can I bring as an encouragement from my perspective? Because honestly, I haven't been living through a war. I haven't faced the kind of things that they faced. And in fact, here's a little advertisement for Sunday school. What I'll be sharing today in Sunday school through video clips and some interviews with Ukrainians, and I think it's very interesting personally, we're going to be sharing what the Ukrainians have done, the church has done in response to war. What do you do when your church is being bombarded, when your town is being completely occupied by enemy soldiers? what do you do as a pastor, as a youth pastor in that situation? So I've learned a great deal from them, but then I didn't know what can I do in coming to you and give you encouragement. I'm learning from you, but what is it that I can share from God's word in this relation, in this idea? What can I do? So God led me to Exodus 17. And I'd like to share that with you this morning. So we'll have scripture up on the screen, but if you want to turn to your Bibles in Exodus 17, this is a passage in scripture that actually I think a lot of us might be familiar of, because this was for me, when I was in Sunday school, oh man, I love this story. All right, this was a great story. It was a story about a war, but it was a story also about something that very strange happened. And any part of scripture that looks a little strange to us in our culture, I mean, that's cool to read, all right? That's really good to look at. So let's look at it together, though, because it's not actually strange. It's amazing what we can learn from here. So Exodus 17, I'll start down in verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. All right, stop there for just a moment. Let me give you the setting here, just because I just jumped and I flew right into Exodus 17. So let me give you a setting here. The Jews had left Egypt. They're on their way to Mount Sinai to hear from God. Okay, we all know what happens at Mount Sinai, right? Ten Commandments. And the whole incident with the golden calf and everything there. Now, though this here, they're on their way. Hasn't happened yet. And on their way, this is the first recorded battle after Egypt. This is, again, before the Ten Commandments, before the tabernacle, before sending of the 12 spies. It's before the 40 years of wandering. Nothing has happened yet like that, all right? And as they're starting towards the promised land, this large group of people, there's a reputation, right? The reputation amongst all the people around them, the pagans and everything, they heard what happened when Egypt. I mean, everybody heard it, all right? And they knew that they had defeated, at least their God had defeated the Egyptian gods in some kind of a strange battle down there that was going on. And they arrived to Rephidim, this large group of people. And as the people are quarreling, they just had the issue with the water and miraculously being provided for them. God had provided for them in the desert. He showed them again, "I'm going to be taking care of you. I'm leading you." And then they're attacked. So this is a war that they didn't ask for, all right? And it's a war that doesn't seem to make sense to them either. After all the trials in the desert, they're attacked by the Amalekites, okay? I don't think they were very prepared personally. They did not have an organized military yet. They had been slaves. And they're traveling as a huge group of people onto where God's leading them. Now, also, we hear in this passage for the very first time the name Joshua. Okay? That's what I just read there. That's the first time he's mentioned in Scripture. But we don't even know really about him very much. He's a general in the army. And God gives them instructions for the fight. And as I was coming to Exodus 17 and preparing to visit Ukraine as a missionary, someone that I love these people. We lived with them for 10 years. We adopted our youngest daughter there. I now have Ukrainian grandson, okay, through Katya. And so this is very special to us. So as I thought about Exodus 17, I actually also thought about what we saw in Ukraine as well, through the pictures and the videos. We did visit in October at the beginning of the war, and now we're visiting again in June. And so as I thought about this war that they didn't ask for, the Israelites at Rephidim, I actually made a little parallel personally to the war that the Ukrainians didn't ask for either. We have many, many stories. I'll share a few over a Sunday school of where basically, these people were our friends, our family there, that were just living their normal lives, and an enemy soldier comes in to attack and to destroy them and to kill their families and to take their homes. This is one street here, actually, too, of a street that was, you know, before the war, you know, and what it looked like, and then after as well. Now it's cleaned up again, praise God, because this happens to be in Bucha and Irpin, and they've been taken back by the Ukrainians. But they also have faced this, and they just and I wanted to be an encouragement to them. Where maybe you could look at Exodus 17 for yourselves. What does it look like? Well, let's keep going then into this particular passage. There are strange instructions that are given that actually point to Yahweh's power. Look at this, all right? Verse 11. Whenever Moses held up his hand, the Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. All right? Strange instructions. So what's going on here? I think if we lived in their society, in their pagan society around them, I really believe that they would have understood what's going on. I think that the lifting up of the staff or the hands was significant. Commentators say that this is showing that they were calling on the power of their God for victory. All right? The battle, you can picture it on, you know, if I'm on the hill right here. You guys are in the battlefield. And the holding up of the arms is showing, okay, we're calling on our God to strike down the enemy that's out here. And that's what Moses was doing. He was calling on the power of Yahweh. He was showing Israel and the Amalekites around them that he is the one, their God, is giving the power to destroy the enemy that they didn't ask for, this war that they didn't ask for. If you look throughout Scripture, you'll see many different things that raising hands means. Praise, we raise our hands in praise, in worship. We also raise our hands when we call for help. In Psalm 141:2, it talks about that. It also is there's some suggestions even culturally at that time that it's a surrender to a higher power, to Yahweh, to God. We can also think of a child. Think of a child as they're running up to their father and they hold up their arms, right? What are they doing? They're calling for help. Or maybe they want to be lifted up in their arms, right? But I think it's significant here that Moses is showing the people that where the power of deliverance from this enemy is going to come from. And so in this context then, as I was thinking about this, and the Ukrainian context, I was thinking about also the weariness that I was seeing in from my friends' emails, from their texts, from the videos that we would have together. They're weary. They were very, very weary. The war is going on much longer than they anticipated. In fact, they didn't ask for the war. They didn't think there was going to be a war, many of them. I said, oh, probably nothing's going to happen. They said, oh, probably nothing's going to happen. And then the enemy comes in and attacks. And they've been serving through that time. You know, if you are a man and you have 3 children or more, you're allowed to cross the border and leave. You can evacuate if you want to. But many of my friends, including Roddick here on the right, let's see, he's on your left, all right, my right. Roddick on the far right there, he is a pastor now in central Ukraine. He was one that we spent some extra time with as we were there. He was one of my students. He's training youth pastors in Kremenchuk Seminary in central Ukraine. His pastor, that was the senior pastor of his church, he was a youth ministry guy as well there, but his senior pastor left, and they evacuated to Germany because they had 10 children. Okay, and so he felt as though that was the best choice for them. But that means that Roddick's the pastor now, all right? So he took over for that while he's doing his other things in other ministry. They gathered, he became a bomb shelter pastor also, finding a place for people could come to for safety when the missiles and the rockets are coming and flying. Also, trying to give food and humanitarian aid to anybody that's passing through their area from the war front. They were very tired. The one on the far right of this particular picture, it's hard to see him. In the middle is Tolik. He's a chaplain. He's been serving. He did 300 funerals in the first year of the war. He lives in Bucha. Bucha saw a massacre during that time. If you come at Sunday school, I'll be sharing about how one of the churches has provided a safe place in their basement during the Russian occupation of Bucha. But they're very weary. Tolik sent me a picture about, I don't know, about 6 months into the war of basically please pray, Mike. I'm in the hospital with high blood pressure. I really got to get back to serving, but I'm just so tired. And that's what I saw Moses here in Exodus 17, verse 12a. It says that Moses' hands grew weary. All right? The people getting tired because of what's going on around them. Moses got tired as well. So what is the solution? It's really cool to see what happens here in this particular passage. In verse 12, if we continue reading, we would read this. Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side, and one on one side, one on the other side. So the hands were steady until the going down of the sun. All right, the solution for Moses' tiredness was other people. I love that. Isn't that a great picture? Other people to help. It was a team. Aaron would eventually become the high priest here. Hur was the son of Caleb, who would later be tied to Joshua as one of the spies that trusted in God's power. The team of men were needed to help Moses, to continue to show where the power of the deliverance was coming from. Okay? So I'd like to demonstrate that here now. Okay? So I know I didn't tell anybody because I wanted to be surprised or something like that. So Pastor Jim, will you come up here? All right. Let's see. And I need someone to help here. All right. Let's see. Do you want to help? Okay. Come on, I'm going to help. What's your name?
Aiden.
Okay, good. You're a little short for this, but I'm going to use you anyway. Okay? All right. Can you stand next to Pastor Jim here? All right. And Pastor Jim, oh man, this is going to be difficult, right? I need a chair for you, but I think we'll make this work anyway, all right? Okay, Pastor Jim is tired, okay? Are you tired?
I'm tired.
Okay, he's tired. All right, he's tired. Pastor Jim is tired, and we have a lot of people out here that are really care about Pastor Jim, and they want to help, all right? And we're working together as a body of Christ to show people that God is the deliverer. He's the one that can give us the power when we're tired and we're weary. So, Pastor Jim, hold up your arms. All right. Aiden, you know what to do.
I love it. You know what to do.
This is our job, okay? This is what everybody's job is. We're going to hold his hands up so he doesn't get tired and he can keep showing people that the deliverer, he is there. He has the strength for us. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. You are perfect for that. Thank you so much. You can sit down. All righty. Okay, so that is, what a beautiful picture, isn't that? And that's the picture that we see in Exodus 17. We see that this is before the body of Christ is talked about in Scripture, all right? I know that I'm sort of jumping ahead to the New Testament, but we are in a similar situation where there are battles that are, I'm sure that you could think about in your lives that you didn't ask for. Wars that you didn't ask for in your life. Now, it may not be exactly what they're facing in Ukraine as a war there, but when I was there also in Kremenchuk with my dear friend Pastor Roddick, we did the same thing, just like you saw it here, all right? We brought Roddick up here, we brought him to the front, and brought somebody from the congregation up there too to hold up his arms, because this is what was needed there at that time for that battle. And the results are that God's power is going to be shown as the one that can deliver. Okay? Now, you can apply this to your life as well. Roddick, too, as he was telling me his stories and how tired he was, this was a good reminder. You know, it's so fun. The guy that I brought up there with Roddick, he had a shirt with a couple English words all over, and it said, "Don't panic." Okay? I thought that was really good. I said, "Don't panic." It was really good for support. That's the kind of support we need, all right? We need the support like they were shown this morning. So the results, again, are very clear, all right? What if Moses also said no? Moses could have said, "Oh, Aaron, don't worry about this. I can do this on my own." No, Moses didn't do that also. He accepted the help because as a team, as the body of Christ, we're in this together. By the way, I'm not just saying this is for leaders. This is not just for pastors. This is not for somebody that's just leading an army like Moses was or Joshua. This is also for, I think, mothers, okay? Mothers that have children that they are that they need to help with. And we come alongside each one of us to help show each other that the power is from God, the deliverance is from God. Let's keep reading in Exodus 17 and see what the results were here. It says here that Joshua was overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. All right, what I love there is especially these verses that say that the result is that God wins the battle and he gets credit for winning the battle. Did Moses get credit? No. Moses has an altar, and the name of the altar is the Lord is my banner. The Lord is the one who gets credit for this. He wiped out the Amalekites, and he is the one who is responsible for winning the battle. And that's also what we've seen in Ukraine with some of the results of what's going on with the enemy. And also, even in the midst of hard times and horrible things, we see some really amazing stories of God's grace and mercy and how he is saving people, not only physically, but even spiritually. So Judy has a really neat story to share with us as she comes up here, and it's going to sort of bring things a little bit more personal. I didn't share about Katya, Judy. Can you do that, do the introduction of Katya?
Okay. Yeah. And so we're just always so glad to be back among you. And we got to attend this church for 6 years during our time at Sunshine. And Mike's talking about holding arms up. You all have been so faithful at holding our arms up in missions, and we just thank you so much. And we just want to lift God's name on high. I feel so privileged. It seems like each time lately that we've got to come back, I've got to tell you the next part of the story with Katya and her family. Katya was 8 years old when we took her into our home from an orphanage. And just within 2 weeks of seeing the difference in especially our children's lives and the way that they treated her, she was 8. At the time, I think Sammy was 11, Mandy was 14, or Luke was 8, 11, Luke was 13, Mandy was 16 when we took her into our home. And just the love that they showed to her and you know, seeing Jesus in our life. She gave her life to Christ within 2 weeks. But her family is a much different story. We've kept relationship with all of her family all these years, 18 years now, and 18 years of sharing the gospel with them every chance that we got. But this is very, very hard soil. They were from a village so remote, with just such a weird mix of Orthodox Christianity and demonism. And so, you know, we've shared the gospel, and like one of her brothers, oh, Judy, I can make that decision when I'm older. I've got, you know, oh, now he's completely an alcoholic and on drugs, and her other brother too. So she's got two brothers, two sisters. But the girls, we have seen Jesus just moving in their hearts over the last few years, especially. When the war started, oh goodness, Olya had an 8-week-old baby and just bombs bursting. I mean, we would hear, you know, leaving voice texts and bombs just bursting in the background. She was terrified. And I wrote her a letter, just said, Olya, we have shared the gospel with you so many times. Now is the time. Don't wait. Give your life to the Lord, everything that you are, everything that you have, your past, your present, your future, your sins, your hopes, your dreams, just turn it all over to the Lord. And she just was like, Judy, I think I have. So anyway, our relationship has just exploded since that time, since the beginning of the war. So anyway, I want to tell you about a time when Katya was 13 years old. It took 5 years to complete her adoption. And that night when her adoption was completed, Katya came to our room sobbing. And we were just like, Katya, what in the world? You have prayed for this and hoped for this for 5 years. And she just said, you know, I was just talking to God and thanking God, and I just started thinking about my family, that I will be the only one in heaven someday in my family. And so we are just seeing God work. Our visits to them have been only once a year, but we have been able, you know, to just continually share Christ with him. Oh boy. And then in June, when we were in Ukraine, we gathered her family together, and I got to have my first ever, I mean, always the whole family has been around, always other people, always ministries, and I got to get together with Katya's two older sisters. I said, I just want to meet with you all alone. And so we got to meet all alone, and I really got to, you know, talk to them about the Lord, find out. I've seen his changes in their lives, and just really find out, you know, how they are, where they are with the Lord. It was an amazing time. And then we got to go to church the next day. The one sister Olya is in this town, and she has started going to this church. She had started about 6 weeks before we got there. And she was so excited, to just beaming excited to share her church with Mike and I. And Nadia decided that she would stay overnight. She's from the village where Katya grew up, remote, no church presence at all. So this would be Nadia's first time in church. There's three teenage daughters involved here, and then two little ones of Katya's nieces. So the three teenage daughters also went to church with us that morning. Just amazing. Olya was just so excited, so beaming. Nadia was a little shy. Mike and I were just feeling like we were watching a miracle take place. The pastor's wife started leading us in worship, and she started singing a song that I wasn't familiar with. The tune was beautiful. Let's see, the pastor and his wife are in that far right corner with Mike and I. This is Pastor Pasha and his wife, Tanya. And so she started leading singing in this song. And suddenly, I was just gripped by the words of the song, of the chorus. The memory of Katya's tears on the night of her adoption flooded my mind. Tears over being the only one in her family that would be in heaven someday. And here we were, standing in this little Ukrainian church filled with many brand new believers, probably 75% brand new believers, because of the church's kindness to people at the beginning of the war, in fearlessly and generously providing humanitarian aid. This tiny church gave out 18,000 packets of food, and people started to come in the midst of this terrible war. So here we were, standing with two of Katya's sisters, three of her teenage nieces, and what were we singing? I am not alone now. I am not alone. Oh my goodness. I just burst into tears. I just poked Mike, and I said, Mike, remember the night that Katya was adopted and she came crying to our room because she was going to be the only one in her family that would know Jesus. So when church was done, we took them all out to eat, the pastors and their wives, Katya's family. Mike and I got to ride with Pastor Pasha and his wife on the way to the restaurant, and in Russian, we quickly told them as fast as we could, because they don't know anything about, they knew they had evacuated Olya and her eight-week-old baby, but they didn't know about Mike or I. I mean, they knew about Mike and I, but they didn't know about Katya or anything, so we got to quickly just fill them in on the story of who Olya was. And Tanya just said to us, you know, I'm really thinking about starting a Bible study in my home for all the brand new believers who don't even know how to read their Bibles. And we were like, oh, would you invite Olya? Oh, absolutely. And she reached out that day at the restaurant to one of Katya's nieces that just moved to her town to start studying at the police academy. And so we just had this amazing time of fellowship over dinner. And then it was time to say goodbye again. And we hugged Katya's family. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me, after 18 years of relationship with these people, we are finally not the only presence of God in their lives. They are not alone. And so when I whispered that memory to Mike, he whipped out his camera and he filmed just the last part of that song. And so we're gonna play that little song for you. You'll see Katya's two sisters there singing with her nieces, and enjoy and praise with us.
Judy's crying, yeah. So in Ukrainian they say, I am not alone now. I am not alone. So thank you for sending us. Thank you for being a blessing to Judy and I, so we can be a blessing to others. As we leave you today, remember to pray for us. Best way to pray for us is to also keep in touch with us and to know a little bit about how to pray. So we have our little table out there like normal. If you're not getting our newsletter by email or by mail, please sign up for that. We'd love to have you continue to pray for us. If you don't have our magnet on your refrigerator, you have a choice to get one there. Even the kids, I have some Ukrainian money out there. Anybody wants to take some Ukrainian money, feel free to take it. It's on the table, and you can remember to pray for Ukraine, especially. Unfortunately, this next summer, we will be going to Ukraine again, but we will not be able to take a missions trip yet. We don't feel, well, the insurance companies don't like it when you take somebody into a war zone. I'm not sure why, but anyway. But Judy and I actually we're planning on leading. It's crazy. We all made the arrangements to lead an English camp to another place that we do ministry in. I go around the world, by the way. I didn't even tell you about my full-time job, but I'm a global training director for Youth for Christ International, so I work at all the countries in the world. We're in 100 countries with 50,000 staff. So please pray for us. We have a big world conference coming up in a month in the Netherlands that I'm responsible for. 20 workshops with 50 trainers, and I'm the leading of that. So pray for us as we lead all the countries. Our first love has been Ukraine, so that's why we talk about it a lot, and there's a lot of needs there. But we will be leading a missions trip, we think, to another country. So 2 weeks ago, I started planning this next missions trip, got everything arranged. We're going to Armenia, all right, with Armenia. We have a wonderful Youth for Christ ministry there, and so we wanted to do English camps there. And then a skirmish and war started happening there a couple weeks ago. So we're not exactly sure if we're going there, but please pray for us in all the areas that we want to be this message, the message basically of what we read today in Exodus 17. And thank you for sending us so that we can remind people he is our deliverer. Only he can deliver us from all what we need. Thank you so much. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Mike and Judy. And as the opportunity we have to bless Mike and Judy and their ministry, we're going to be receiving a love offering. And just as a reminder that they will be sharing a bit more during Sunday school. After Sunday school, we are having a carry-in dinner. And if you had not planned on that, that's okay, because there will be plenty of food. And we ask that you would join us for that. Also a reminder that the nominating committee will be meeting after our service before the Sunday school time. But I'm going to pray for our offering. I'll ask the men to come forward after I pray before, as we get ourselves also prepared for communion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these two servants of yours and the opportunity we have of the reminder of this morning of we do not go into battle alone. Father, it is also the reminder that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this world. Father, we pray that you would be with Mike and Judy, give them travel mercies as they travel around the Midwest for the next couple of, and the Upper Plains for the next couple of weeks, but then around the world for their time at the World Conference, that you would give wisdom to Mike, travel mercies as well, and all the connections. But Father, that each day, as we were reminded that they are not alone, we are not alone. Father, we ask that you would bless this offering, use it to further the ministry you've entrusted to them. Thank you for the opportunity we have of participating with them and to have a part in seeing the gospel of Christ go around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't we stand and sing 461, He Leadeth Me. Sing together. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, 'tis this Thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Thanks for singing. Please have a seat.
If I could ask the men to come forward for our communion time today. Serve up communion. We're going to be partaking in communion now. Just so you all know, it is an open communion, so you don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to have any qualifications that way. The only thing we ask is that your heart is right with God and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And no judgment will be passed on you if you feel as though your heart is not right before Him. And that is very important. So,
Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to come before You. Lord, we thank You for Your gift of Your Son and Him coming to earth to live a sinless life and then be a sacrifice for us, Lord. We thank You for